Amen, amen. Well, it is always a joy and the highest honor to enter the house of God and to be able to look into his word. Let's pray over his word tonight with faith. Lord, we are so thankful that you love the gates of Zion. You love the dwelling place of your church, Lord. And we declare tonight, according to your word, that you have a purpose, you have a call, you have a plan according to your word. And tonight, we yield ourselves to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we ask, oh God, that you would come and speak. Lord, open up our hearts. Open up our eyes tonight to see what you see, oh God. Open up our ears tonight to hear what it is that you would want to say to us as individuals, God. Over every family, every marriage, every son and daughter, there is a divine purpose. And tonight, God, we pray that your voice would be heard, and we lean into you tonight, God, and we ask that you would come and have your way. Change us into your image, we ask, in the name of Jesus. And everybody who has faith said amen. Amen. Our title tonight is Living Waters Always Flow. Somebody say, always flow. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. I love this passage of Scripture. I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God because God says that his Word will not return void, but that it will accomplish. You know, that word "will" in Scripture means that it is done. It is yes and amen, that God will perform it. That word "will" evokes a faith response out of us. And I believe tonight that the Lord is calling his people to arise in a spirit of faith, in a fresh believing spirit upon our lives. Jesus was clear in this Scripture that he desired the living waters of his Spirit, of his presence, to be a continual flow in and out of our lives. But we will only experience the waters, we will only experience the flow of his Spirit when we believe. This word "believe" is crucial in our lives, to invoke in our lives. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me regarding this passage, and he said, there is one place where the rivers of living water will always flow, and it is in the place of our faith. It is in the place of our faith. And I just really believe that tonight, that the Lord wants to increase our faith. Jesus means every word that he says. God ordained every word within his word for a purpose. And he said, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. How many want to please God? I want to please the Lord with my life. I want to please the Lord with the call that he has placed upon our lives. And he says, would you have faith? Because when we are a people of faith, it pleases the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who searches after the Lord, he who has faith, will receive a diligent reward of the Lord. And we believe this according to his word. The Holy Spirit is continually moving, even in the places where eyes are closed, where ears are shut. But we will only experience the living waters of cleansing, the healing waters, the living waters of the supernatural joy, supernatural peace, when we have faith. There are three areas that I want to encourage us in tonight, where God calls us to have faith, so that his living waters will continually flow into and out of us. Number one tonight is faith in the place of our wilderness. There are several instances in God's word that speaks about people who found themselves in a natural wilderness. I think of the story of Hagar. We know the story of her son Ishmael born to her and Abraham. But Sarah, Abraham's wife, despised Hagar. She despised this baby that was born to Hagar. And so she says to Abraham that he must cast both of them out, for Sarah was not going to allow this child, Ishmael, to have any part in the inheritance of her son, Isaac. Hagar and her son wandered in the wilderness. And we can imagine as they wandered and as they were cast out that in her natural spirit, she must have been filled with such rejection, with such loneliness, perhaps a little bit of anger, confusion, hurts. I want to read just a few of these verses in Genesis chapter 21, verses 14 to 20. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water. Putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up. And she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. And then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, "Let me not see the death of the boy." So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, "What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation." And then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. And so God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. In this story, in the place of Hagar's wilderness, it says that she cried out to God. And it says that as she cried out, that God not only heard her cry, but that he opened up her eyes to see his provision. And his provision for her was a well. And this well of water provided for their natural need. But this well also represents the spiritual need for his living waters. You see, we can imagine, we can be sure that they were desperate for the living waters of God to come and flood their hearts, for the living waters of his comfort, of understanding, of peace to come and strengthen them. And on this day, Hagar's faith was strengthened as she received naturally and spiritually from these waters that were living. Another example for us found in Scripture is in the life of the Israelites, and we know this history. We've heard it taught and read it so many, many times, and how they traveled through the wilderness for 40 years. And within this wilderness journey, we see the story of God who faithfully provided for their natural needs in miraculous ways, even in the midst of complaint and rebellion. There were several spiritual lessons that God wanted to teach his people along the way. And one of the familiar miracles that we know about is when God provided water from a rock. The people were thirsty. They began to complain. They began to be bitter towards Moses. And so God commanded Moses to strike the rock with his rod. And God stood in front of him and he caused water to pour forth, to gush like a mighty rushing river so that they could drink. This miracle of water provided for their natural thirst, but there is spiritual significance for us from these passages regarding our spiritual thirst. You see, we may have wilderness seasons in the natural, but I believe that the Lord would say to us tonight that even though there may be wilderness seasons in the natural, that the believing people of God should never experience seasons of spiritual wilderness. There should never be seasons. Are there moments of spiritual dryness? Yes. But there should never be drawn out seasons in our lives where we are spiritually dry. And this is an important lesson that the Lord wants to encourage us and wants to show us. When you find yourself in the wilderness in the natural, the temptation comes across our lives and our hearts to question God, to wonder what his plan could possibly be. And it is possible to find ourselves spiritually captive by our natural circumstances. The enemy would lie to us in these seasons. In the seasons of our natural wilderness, the enemy would come and lie and say, "God has forgotten you. God does not have a plan for you. Look at how he has left you. Look at how it seems as though your prayers are not being answered." And this would be the lie and the attack of the enemy that comes against our lives. For sure, there are seasons where our wilderness might be filled with grief, with loneliness, where the finances are literally tight, where the sickness actually is painful. Perhaps you have found yourself in a wilderness because of relationships that are dry. Strife has come. Harsh words have been spoken. There is no peace with one another. The Lord would want to remind us that even though these places of wilderness are real, that the rivers of His Holy Spirit never stop flowing. The rivers of His Holy Spirit never cease to be powerful for us, even in the midst of these natural circumstances. And these rivers are powerful to cleanse every sin, to heal, to wash over every dry area, every apathetic spirit, every unbelief. The rivers of His living water never cease to flow. The rivers of His Spirit never cease to be powerful. You see, the rivers of His Holy Spirit are always available to us at all times, no matter what, no matter what we are faced with. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13, I believe, seeks to speak to us as a warning against a spiritual captivity, a spiritual dryness in our lives. It says, "Therefore my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst." You see, this verse serves as a warning to us that we would never allow our lack of knowledge of the Scripture, that we would never allow our lack of understanding in the Scripture to cause us to be bound up, to cause us to enter into a spiritual captivity, a dry season where there are days and days and days of spiritual dryness in our lives. Spiritual dryness, that season, the prolonged season of spiritual dryness should never happen in the life of a believer. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 in the NIV says, "Never be lacking in zeal. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." This is the urging of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. There should never be a time when we allow Satan to sift us. There should never be a time where we allow the enemy. The enemy has no power unless you give him power. There should never be a time when we allow the enemy to shake our faith in God, that His plans and His thoughts and ways are always higher than our ways. Is there pain and sickness? Of course there is. Is there financial strain upon lives? Absolutely. Is there healing that needs to come? Are there relationships that are desperate for the Lord to bring healing and to bring unity? Absolutely. But Jesus Christ faced all kinds of suffering in His own life, and yet He never wavered from His call to serve His Father, to always be found doing the will of His Father. And in the place of our natural drought, we need to understand the Scriptures. We need to apply our knowledge to the Word that says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we can be assured that He is fighting for our spiritual victory, that He fights for His rivers of life, His rivers of healing, of supernatural peace and joy to flow at all times. Keep the rivers of living water flowing in your life at all times, and I guarantee when you do this with faith, you will notice a difference in your life. Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts," I wonder if there is anybody here tonight who is thirsty. "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." When we have faith, church, when we believe that Jesus is who the Scriptures say He is, rivers of living water will always flow. Rivers of His Holy Spirit and His presence will never cease to be real in your life in the name of Jesus. We have the knowledge of Scripture. We have the knowledge of His truth. And so we are able to use this knowledge to break free from any captivity that the enemy tries to keep us in bondage of. We have all heard people say, "I'm in a spiritual wilderness. I'm just spiritually dry. It's been so long since I've prayed. It's been so long since I've worshiped. It's been so long since I've come to the house of the Lord." And I want to say this tonight, that if you have ever found yourself in a season of spiritual wilderness, this is not of the Lord. This is not God's plan for your life. This is our own doing. This is our own doing. As soon as we do not surrender to the Lord's plan, as soon as we lack in trust and faith in the Lord, we will experience that separation and that spiritual dryness. You see, when there are seasons of spiritual captivity, of spiritual dryness, it is because we have pulled back from prayer. It is because we have pulled back from reading the Word of God, from living the Word of God, from standing on the Word of God. It is because we have pulled back from entering into the house of God. It is because we have pulled back from our faith that Jesus Christ is the same, that He is our rock, that He is our victor, that rivers of living water always flow in our lives. If we believe in Jesus, as Scripture teaches us, but as soon as we stop surrendering, church, as soon as we complain to the Lord about our natural circumstances and we allow ourselves to wallow, how many here have ever wallowed? As soon as we allow ourselves to be in a season of wallowing, hear what I'm saying. I'm not talking about a moment or just a few minutes or an hour. But when we allow ourselves to be in a season of these areas, it is then that we can be captive to our wilderness. And the enemy plays, he plays on every emotion, on every weakness in our lives. But you see, the challenge for us is this, that we are so desperate for the Lord to change our natural circumstance, aren't we? We are just so desperate for the Lord to change that person around us. We are desperate for the Lord to move in the way that we want Him to move, to bring the change that we want Him to move, that when we are focused on this, it is then that we can find ourselves in a spiritual wilderness. You see, the purpose of His river is to cleanse us, and it is to empower us to endure the wilderness. Will our circumstance change? Will our loved ones soften their hearts? Will that person change in the way that we think they need to be changed? How many know that, man, we have all kinds of ideas of how people should change and how our circumstance should look differently? Will the Lord provide the finances in our timing in the way that we think He should? Will He heal that sickness and bring the miracle in our timing and in our way? You see, the truth is that it is not up to us to know how and when the Lord will answer. But it is up to us to surrender. It is up to us to be faithful in these natural circumstances and to say, Lord, not my will, but Your will. How can I glorify You, Father, even when I don't understand? I may not understand. My situation may look differently than what I want it to look differently, but I will never stop praising. I will never stop declaring my faith in the Lord our God. The purpose is for us to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, to understand that there are gushing rivers of His Spirit that are waiting to heal our hearts, that are waiting to empower us to be in the relationships that are difficult. Here's the purpose for us. Purpose of the Holy Spirit is that He would empower us to endure our natural circumstances no matter what it looks like. God provided water from the rock to show His people that though they had a natural need, their spiritual need was so much greater. It was so much greater than what they felt their natural need was. Their spiritual need was to surrender to Him, was to follow the Lord, was to be faithful to God, was to worship Him no matter what it looked like. Deuteronomy chapter 8, I just want to look at a few verses here that speak to our faith and our obedience as it relates to the rivers of God for our life. Verses 1 to 7, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your hearts, whether you would keep His commandments or not. So He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills. You see, man does not live by natural bread alone. We do not live by our natural circumstances changing. but we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We live with a supernatural faith in His word. We live with a supernatural faith, a trust in His plan and what He wants to do. We live with a supernatural faith in these areas. And when we live in this way, we can be sure that His rivers will always flow, even in the natural wilderness of our circumstance. Verse 7 out of this passage in the voice says, "The Eternal, your God, is bringing you into a good land, a land with torrents of rushing water, with springs and underground streams flowing out into the valleys and hills." Can you receive that for your life tonight? There is a place of surrendered faith and obedience that the Lord yearns to bring every single one of us to. And when our faith is centered on Him, when our faith is immovable, no matter what, it is then that the torrents, the rushing rivers, will flow into our lives and out of our lives. The Lord will lead us into His good land. And I wonder if there are any dry places in this house tonight. As you would even just examine your own hearts and your own minds, are there any dry places? Perhaps the Holy Spirit would just reveal it to you in this moment. Have you allowed yourself to be spiritually dry, to be spiritually lacking faith in the midst of your wilderness? Receive the promises for your life tonight. The Lord wants to break you free from that tonight. Psalm 105, verse 41, "He opened the rock and water gushed out. It ran in the dry places like a river." Would you allow His gushing waters to run, to flow, to begin to move, to begin to saturate the dry places? "He who believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Number two tonight, faith in the place of our natural weakness. There may be times in our lives, certainly there are times in our lives, where we may not necessarily be in a wilderness, but we for sure find ourselves naturally weak. And it is in the place of our faith, when we are naturally weak, that the living waters will flow into and out of us. How often did the Apostle Paul teach us that we literally are nothing without God? Our natural strength means nothing. That we need to rely on the power of God, that we need to surrender to His strength, that in our weakness it is then that God can show His power, that God can show up in our lives. We are unable to live this life in spiritual victory, overcoming every attack and temptation, every pull of the enemy to remain fearful and worried and tired and ineffective without victory in the Holy Spirit. I pray that we can recognize our natural weakness and surrender to God's strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, "And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4, "For though He was crucified in weakness, yet He lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in Him, but we shall live with Him by the power of God towards you." When I was thinking about this particular point, I was bringing it to my own life, and the Lord reminded me of a lesson that He taught me several years ago. For the past 20 years, don't think about how long that is, but for the past 20 years, part of my ministry, not all of my ministry, but part of my ministry has been centered on coordinating events. And from the time I was a teenager and I started out in this particular area of ministry, one thing has remained constant in my life, and that is that I give every part of my body, soul, mind, and spirit to coordinating these events for the Lord. Every part of my heart, every part of my energy, most of my time goes into serving the Lord and coordinating these events. And by the time these events are over, there are some events that just leave my natural body completely empty, completely weak, and I can be exhausted. Sometimes there is a spiritual thirst within me for the fresh waters of the living God to pour in me. But you know, there was a time when I was 18 years old, when I was 19 years old, that my natural weariness, it masked my spiritual thirst, and so I would give in to my natural weaknesses without seeking the fresh waters of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it took me days to get out of my natural weakness, to recognize that my greater need was a spiritual need, that though the weariness was real, sometimes our weariness can mask the spiritual thirst that the Lord is trying to highlight in our lives. And sometimes it took me days to begin to seek and to cry out for the living waters to refresh and to strengthen me. But once I learned this truth, the power of my faith to be able to flow, to be able to invoke the living waters at a young age, church, it changed my life. It changed my life. Though my body would be naturally weak, I never allowed the living waters of the Holy Spirit to stop flowing in my spirit, to stop flowing in my life. You see, when we invoke the power of the Holy Spirit and His presence in the midst of our weariness, we are able to overcome every lie of the enemy that would seek to attack you in your moment of natural weakness. We have all experienced that. The enemy loves to come when we are weak, when we are tired, when we are exhausted. But I pray that we would be able to recognize that in our moments of natural weakness that there is a spiritual thirst that the Holy Spirit wants to highlight. And He says, there are rivers, there are rivers, there are rivers, there are rivers that want to flow in the place of your natural weakness, in the place of your weariness. When we are empty of natural strength, we need to always ask for the fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, because there is a continual flow that we are called to move in, that we are called to flow in with the Lord. Number three, the final thing tonight is faith in the house of God. Faith in the house of God. The living waters always flow in the house of God when we believe and we have faith. I think one of the greatest passages that speak to this truth is the familiar passage found in Ezekiel 47. We're not going to read all of this passage tonight, but I encourage you to take some time and read this passage again with just a fresh spiritual thirst for His living waters. In this familiar passage, God reveals to the prophet Ezekiel that there are divine living waters that are flowing directly from the temple. He perceives, he sees the living waters flowing into the temple from all sides and flowing out of the temple as well. The Lord revealed to Ezekiel that these waters were not only holy, they were not only divine, but they were deep waters. And He called Ezekiel to enter the deep waters. And Ezekiel also perceived that these waters were continually moving. You see, the river of God is not likened to a pond that is still, but the river of God is likened to waters that are always moving, that are continually flowing. And He calls for us to enter into these waters. I want to read about the purpose of these living waters in Ezekiel 47, verse 9 and 11 to 12. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed. And everything will live wherever the river goes. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. Other translations say their leaves for healing. A beautiful purpose for our lives when we flow in God's river in His house. But I want to take a quick moment and look at verse 11 because there is a caution here to us. There is a warning to us. Verse 11 relates the power of these living waters to our surrendered faith. It says, but its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. The swamps and the marshes can be related to a life, a vessel that is not surrendered to the Lord, a heart that does not have faith in the living power of Jesus Christ, a life that is not surrendered to holy and pure living unto the Lord. These lives are filled with weeds. They are likened to swamps whose waters are murky or muddy. You see, we all have waters flowing from within us every day. Are they muddy waters or are they holy waters? Are they divine waters or are they self-serving waters? The Lord wants to encourage us in this area. Those who live this way do not have faith in the living waters of Jesus Christ, and therefore they will not be healed. Family of God, our faith is so important when we apply it to the river of God. We need to believe in Jesus as the scriptures say. Our faith is important in order for us to experience the living waters, in order for us to experience the river of God. Let's have the worship team return, please. I wonder if we could just position our hearts and hear the urging of the Holy Spirit in these verses, because he calls to every soul, every one of us tonight. He calls to us and says that his living waters are real. The power of the Holy Spirit to cleanse, to heal, and to anoint are real. But we need to have faith in the living waters of his presence. We need to enter the river of God. You see, it's not enough for us to stand on the shore to watch everybody else who is enjoying the rivers of God. It isn't enough for our lives to stand on the sidelines and to say, well, that's good for that person. I'm glad they're receiving healing of their hearts. I'm glad they're being anointed by the Lord to be used by God. It is not enough. The Holy Spirit urges every single believer to enter the river of God. And when we do, verse 12 is the result. It is the promise. Along the bank of the river on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruits will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. God revealed to Ezekiel that these living waters, that his river was divine, that it flowed from the sanctuary. He revealed that these waters were deep, that they were constantly moving. But he said, Ezekiel, get in the water. Get in the water. And he says that to us tonight. And when we get into the river of God, getting wet to our ankles is not enough. Ezekiel experienced that, and the Lord called him beyond that. The water came to his knees, but God was not finished with him yet. And it wasn't until the waters were flowing all around and consuming and all over Ezekiel that he truly understood the healing and the anointing and the purpose of this river of God that he was meant to flow in. And the Holy Spirit calls to us and he says, get into the river, but don't step back out. Don't look around you. Let yourself be immersed. Let your entire heart be immersed into the river of God. Let your entire mind, your entire body, your entire faith, your entire schedule, your entire priorities, every aspect of your life to be immersed in the river of God. And these divine waters, they will cleanse your sin. They will heal every dry and every broken area in your life, and they will anoint you to cause your fruit to bear every single month. Your leaves will be for food, will be for healing. There will be an anointing as we flow in the river of God. Get into the house of God where his river flows. Stay connected to the people of God who are flowing in the river. God yearns for us to flow in the river of his sanctuary so he can anoint us. When we stay in the river of God in his house at all times, we will never wither or be dry, but through our faith, church, we will see miracles. We will see healings upon broken and dry hearts according to his word. It is our faith in Jesus that causes the river to always flow when we have eyes to see him and when we recognize our spiritual thirst. And our spiritual thirst tonight is for Jesus Christ. It is not just for his power. It is not just for what he can do for us. But he calls there to be a spiritual thirst to be awakened within him, within us, that we would yearn to flow in the river just to know him, just to be with him. It is in this place of intimacy where the Lord will begin to change us and begin to move upon our lives. The living waters of the Holy Spirit are here in this place tonight to heal every broken heart. They are here tonight to comfort the lonely. They are here tonight to pour the oil of gladness upon the sad and grieving hearts. but there must be a thirst. There must be a believing spirit in order for us to receive this. The Passion Translation of our verses in John 7 says, "Then on the most important day of the feast, the last day, Jesus stood and shouted out to the crowds, 'All you thirsty ones, come to me. Come to me and drink. Believe in me so that rivers of living water will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being,' just like the scripture says." Jesus was prophesying about the Holy Spirit that believers were being prepared to receive. The beginning of this passage, it is significant that it says Jesus stood up. There were times when Jesus taught from a sitting position, but for this particular truth, it says that he stood up and he cried out in a loud voice. He shouted because he wanted everybody that was within the sound of his voice to hear, to receive the revelation of this important truth for our lives. He said, "He who is thirsty, come to me and drink. Stop going to other places to fill that thirst. It will always leave you dry and empty." But he says, only when you place your faith in me, when you believe in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will enter your heart and they will flow from within you in the name of Jesus. We must have faith that his waters never cease to flow. Let's stand together tonight. Before we worship the Lord together, I want to close with verse 12 in the AMPC version of Ezekiel 47. And I wonder if you could just position yourselves before the Lord. Let's just take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do in our lives. But I want to declare the truth of this scripture over every single one of us tonight. We believe in the power of the word. We believe in the authority of Jesus Christ tonight. And we believe. We have faith tonight, and we want to receive all that the Lord wants to do. So according to this verse, O God, those who have faith and believe in Jesus, those who flow in the living waters, in the rivers of intimacy with you and your Holy Spirit will bear fruit. We call the fruit to come forth in the name of Jesus. Every leaf will not fade. Their fruit will not fail to meet the demand. According to your word, every tree represented here will bring forth new fruit every month with supernatural qualities because their waters come from the sanctuary. Our fruit shall be for food, and our leaves will be for healing. In the name of Jesus, let it be done tonight, we pray, for your glory according to your word. Father, come and move upon our lives tonight, I pray. Whatever response we need to make tonight, we ask that you would just move as we worship you tonight. In your name we pray, amen. Let's worship the Lord. Enter the river tonight, church.